Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You may not know this, but a week from Friday is Valentine's Day. And
is it really?
You're going to want to take, yeah, you're going to want to take your, your person, your lady, your dude, you want to take them out to dinner or something, which means you need to start getting those reservations. And there's nobody better to talk about that with us than the dining editor for St. Louis Magazine, George Mahey, who is in studio with us. Also some openings and closings going on around the city. But let's start with Valentine's Day, George.
It's the 4th of February. You should have started.
Oh, dude, it's 2 weeks from now.
No,
right?
It's 10 days from now.
Yeah. A week from Friday.
So you're not too late, but you should get on it like right after we get off the air here. Because seriously.
Is today like the day? If you don't get it in, you're probably out of luck.
You know, here's what's going on this year. It's Valentine's Day falls on a Friday. So you kind of have, there's a bit of a reprieve. You really have there's still a lot of people making reservations for the 15th for Saturday. A lot of people would rather go out on Saturday. It gives them a little more time to get ready, a little more time to get dolled up, you know. And so that's a blessing this year. It's not confined to the one day because, yeah, the pressure is on for sure. But if it's on a weekend, especially like this, you know, you've basically got some time.
Is that really true that if Valentine's Day falls on a Friday, that most, or I don't know if most, but what percentage of people do you think wait until the following day?
Only those that didn't get in on the 14th.
All right. So,
yeah. And it works the other way, too. If it's on the 15th, you know, it's on Saturday, then people go on Friday. But anyway, we put together an article that has, there must be 50 options, and they're all fun and unusual and everything from a chocolate and beer tasting at Four Hands all throughout the month of February. That's kind of fun. They give you four different beers and four different chocolates to pair with it. You know, that's a little bit different. My friend and former partner, Steve Gontram, over at Five Star Burgers, this is one of my favorite ones. Last year, he did something. You know, he threw some tablecloths down and put some candles out and did some, you know, like foie gras burgers or something kind of fancy. This year, again, Steve is the former owner of Harvest. He's doing Harvest entrees, just like we served them back in the day. So it's going to be Harvest Revisited. I don't know if folks that don't remember Harvest.
Yeah, what if people don't?
It was a restaurant in the 90s, and it was a bit revolutionary because Steve and his chef partner that was there, they stacked things. You know, so you've got your your meat and your starch and your vegetable in three different places. He would stack all these very artistically on top of one another, and that was a California thing that hadn't really been done in St. Louis. And these entrees were works of art, the way they had everything just so on the plate. So that's what you're going to see at Five Star Burgers on Valentine's Day. Some of the, you know, the people that remember, there was a lamb shank there that was legendary. The bread pudding there, which went on, you know, is now available It's Cyrano's in Webster Groves was one of those dishes. Anyway, I'm really excited about that, one, because he's my former partner, and two, he's doing hanger steak, you know, and people didn't even know what hanger steak mm-hmm. was in the 90s, and this is one of the things that came to pass with Harvest. But anyway, I'm pretty sure there's still some reservations available, and what I like about Steve, he's an old school guy. You don't go to Talk or you don't go to Resi. You call him on the phone and say, hey, I want to come on Valentine's Day. What do you got? So it's all reservations mm-hmm. are done old school. So that's one thing.
What's something that might be, I don't want to say off the beaten path, but maybe not your typical go-to, where you want something different for Valentine's Day, something that you'll enjoy and isn't necessarily all about, well, I just want to pay the most for a fancy dinner.
There's at a place called Rosé by Pinot. Mm-hmm. There's Pinot in Clayton and Rosé by Pinot, which is in Lafayette Square, and it's a little 30-seat kind of bistro type of place. The chef there and owner, Pepe Kem, is doing a love letter on a plate.
Ooh. Oh.
And it's a 7 courses for $75. That might be the best deal in town, because that's what happens on Valentine's Day. Again, it's kind of, you've got a captive audience, and they could probably charge $175 and sold mm-hmm. the thing out. But you have to be wary of that, of restaurants kind of taking advantage. And again, when you're looking at this list, just say, boy, that sounds like a great deal. Or, you know, that sounds a little expensive. But you just kind of have to, you know, let the buyer beware on that. But Love Letter on a Plate has just some really great items. A puree of lobster soup, asparagus bisque. Sea bass, chicken, a veal filet. You know, this is kind of this is a cool little place down in Lafayette Square. And they're currently closed for a little remodeling and reshuffling, but they're going to open back up on Valentine's Day with this kind of fun thing. So that's a little bit different. Most people, I'm guessing, have never been there. The food's really good, and this will be something a little bit out of the ordinary. Over at Robust, mm-hmm. they're doing a kind of an old school, and I'm sorry, over at Madrina, their other restaurant, they're doing a vintage Valentine's Day where they have a prime rib cart. And they're going around the restaurant.
Oh, that's the best.
How about that?
And just that is like, the best.
And say, okay, Ranch, how big, you know, and they slide the knife. You want a little piece? And they keep sliding it until you say cut. And boom, you get a, you know, a thin piece or a really king size piece. Isn't that a great idea?
I've only been to one of those kinds of, it was Lowry's in Chicago that they used to take the cart around. It's closed now, but it was an old school kind of place. They had the thing with the, you know, the lid on it.
Yeah,
and they,
exactly.
I loved that.
I think it's a really fun idea. They've got lobster thermidor, all these kind of old school, old timey entrees, and I just love the idea. You know, I think table service is cool anyway, and when some guy's coming around with a knife and says, you just tell me where to stop on this rib roast.
What a concept.
It can be. You can have a 2-inch piece of meat if you want it. I think that's just a riot.
I've never seen that before in person.
That's at Madrina, and that's on Valentine's Day night. So there's so many little things you can do. And I was talking about Robust. I don't know if we talked about this or not, but they've got, I think, 28 Days of Love, and they've got different things that they're doing every night. And one of them is they're kind of sharing the loving experience that the owner, Arlene Brown, I guess, every day in February, she and her family have little paper hearts, mm-hmm. and they write something nice about one person each day. And they all have to do it, whether they want to or not. And they put all these in their window. So if you drive by the Browns' house in February, you see all these hearts appearing. Anyway, they're going to do the same thing at Robust. And everybody that comes in is going to ask to write something nice on a heart, and they'll put it up in the window. Isn't that a great idea?
Yeah, Amy, you want to do that for the rest of the week and through till
put
Friday?
Put it on the window of Studio B?
Yeah, for us.
I could maybe think of one heart. Maybe.
For Ranch?
For me?
For Ranch, yeah. I can think of so many. He's here. I don't know. He's alive.
Yeah. There's other people in the studio.
Nothing for you, George.
Matt and Jesky would be easy.
I just think that's, and I talked to some people, and they said, you know, I'm going to do that in our family. It's just a sweet thing to do. Arlene Brown, she said, my birthday is in February, but but people just want to dismiss February. It's like, it's a cold month. It's a short month. Let's just be done with it and get on to March. And she's like, let's slow down a minute and enjoy this month. So anyway, she brought that home touch to Robust for the month of February. I think it's very sweet.
Hey, George, what is the restaurant that replaced Bar Le Frere at Hanley and Wydown? It's still a French bistro.
Right.
What is the name of it?
It's called Bistro La Floraison.
And would that be a good, like, if you, let's say that's not your type of place, because it's a little intimidating, right? This French bistro for Valentine's Day. One, do you think you can get in?
Yeah, that's one of the first places I think that would sell out because it's sexy and it's romantic. It's one of those, even when it was Bar Le Frere, it was considered one of the most romantic places in town. Absolutely.
Okay.
And they've got the little bistro tables in there and they turn down the lights and it'll be, you know, very, very, you know, special for Valentine's Day.
Bistro La Floraison.
Bistro La Floraison.
Okay.
Yeah. So
I get asked that and I always forget.
Yeah. Well, but, you know, like I said, there's plenty of options available. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Even, you know, if you don't want to go out, I don't know that I'm going out. But, you know, I did just talk about Art of Entertaining, and they have a meal for two that's like $80-$85 for two. Mm-hmm. A really nice beef tenderloin, the whole nine yards, about 5-6 courses that you can pick up and heat up, or they'll deliver it to you. You don't even have to move. You can just call them on the phone and say, bring this to my house. And that's what I want for
Valentine's.
What's
the place called?
It's called Art of Entertaining. It's a catering company in Webster. It's been there for 30 years. And I just think that's a great idea, too, because a lot of people just don't want to mess. That's a day that they just don't want to mess with.
So what if you are, you want to go do something, but you don't feel like the reservation thing? You just kind of last minute, let's go pick a place. Is that, what are your options, if any?
It's tough because every place is busy on those weekends and on those nights. Again, I always suggest to go to the biggest places because they're likely to have the most room. Mm. You were talking about places that are opening too. There's a place that just opened this week called Flight Club, and
we went there, and
that's a place that, you know, it's so new that I don't think anybody knows about it yet, right? So I think that's a place where you could probably get in on Valentine's Day just because it's still under the radar, I was there too, and it's just a really cool concept, you know, kind of upscale social darts, and you know, you remember in the old days with those electronic darts in the bars with the little holes in them,
the
plastic tips and the things that bing, they'd bounce,
the
you know, they'd bounce
these
off.
These things can do some damage, and that's what I want. That's the kind of dart I want.
Yeah, well, it's a real dart and a real dart board and all this space age way to score it. But that's, you know, the food's good. It's I think the eighth one in the country. Flight Club. It's a cool place. And
this place is small, and I think it's just drinks, but none of the above, the speakeasy, the Jardcraft speakeasy. How is it doing? And two,
kicking A to answer your question.
So maybe, like, if you are going to do your meal at home or whatever, you could also try to sneak in earlier for cocktails at none of the above.
Perhaps have a pre-dinner cocktail. Yeah. But again, they do take reservations, and I would, it's not a place I would go try to wait in line on Valentine's Day. It's, everybody's got the same idea, I think. But they do take reservations, so that's a good deal. One of my favorite places is Basso, because it's romantic and dark.
It's a Cheshire.
They got the gas lamps flickering down there, and I just think it's a charming place. And I don't know why, it's been there for a while, and all of a sudden it's like the most popular restaurant in town.
This is an old one. You know where I went for the very first time? You're gonna die that this is the first time I've ever gone there, was this winter. Palmanos.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
I had never gone, but I heard, like,
everybody
from
talks
Wayne
about,
Gretzky and Darren Pink. When the Blues were in the Stanley Cup final, they brought everyone to Palmanos. That's where all the broadcasters would go and the former players. I had never gone there. It was very good.
Very good.
It was very
And again,
full.
It's very hard to get into. It's busy on a Tuesday night. But
our reservation was at 10:15.
Oh my gosh.
P.M. Like, ooh, it was so late.
That's like a European dinner.
I know.
That's
like
tough.
Like having dinner in Spain. Is there anything, George, right now that might, you mentioned Flight Club in Clayton, which just opened. There have to be some other places that have just opened that people don't know about yet, so you might be able to get into. Any suggestions there?
There is a place, again, I don't know that it's the sexiest. No, it is sexy. It's called Nixta. I mean, it's not. It's not formal. This is the new and improved. Yeah. It's over in the Del Mar Maker District. I was just there over the weekend. Might be able to get in there. It's really cool. I mean, really fun. The owner Ben Perumba was asked to describe it, and he said, "It's like you're on vacation, and it's got this kind of islandy vibe mm-hmm. to it. It's got ceviche and a lot of." Island type fare, Mexican fare. That's a place that it's a great restaurant. It's again another Ben Perumba restaurant. Most of them, you walk in and you go, I feel like I'm somewhere else. And this one is the same way.
Have you ever had a poo-poo platter?
Sure.
I was talking.
I don't even
about
know what's
it.
On it.
When I was a kid, the best thing is you would go to like a Chinese restaurant and you would see the poo-poo platter. And as a kid, it was just so funny and so. What is a poo-poo platter?
P-U-P-U platter. Yeah. It's in the Polynesian restaurants, it's just a little sampler platter, okay. Usually a kind of a Lazy Susan type arrangement where you spin it around. And it's got just little goodies that from egg rolls to ceviches to little things like that. But yeah, it was, crab rangoons. You'll see all kinds of things on a poop, but everybody just likes to say poo-poo
I think
platter.
You could do a little Valentine's poo-poo.
Do not laugh at that.
It sounds great.
Make sure you say platter after that, yeah. Please. But here's the other thing. I'm going to help you with this. I'm going to move on. So the other thing that I wrote an article on this years ago, and I've continued to update it. And the article's called "The Most Romantic Restaurant Tables in St. Louis," and I took the most romantic restaurants. And found out the table number of the table that I would sit at if I could. Oh. And, you know, the restaurant people probably hate me for this. Because,
yeah.
But you can ask for restaurant tables. A lot of diners and consumers don't know that. But, you know, this is with the reservation systems and the way things are set up. The restaurants are just fine with that. Sure, if you want table 3, it's available that night. I'll make sure you get it kind of thing. Anyway, that is really a fun thing to look at. For this, especially this time, if you can get, one of these romantic, super romantic tables. And even if you can't, I always say, you know what? Romance knows no season. Just do it some other time. But remember table 30 or whatever it might be. But anyway, that's fun. There's probably 50 or 60 restaurants with specific table numbers. And it took me a while to kind of research it. But it's really fun.
George Mahey, it's always great to have you come in, talk to us about what's happening, and you, again, recommend get your reservation today, otherwise you're screwed.
Right. And you might even look up this romantic tables in St. Louis and just give it a shot. Maybe nobody else has asked for that table, and you get it just by asking for it. So,
dining editor for St. Louis Magazine, it is stlmag.com/dining, and you can find anything you need, all the information. George Mahey is the dining editor. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, and we've got Arch Eats is coming up tomorrow.
The
podcast is coming up tomorrow. Last year, we talked about romantic restaurants. This year, we wanted to do something different. Sexy restaurants in St. Louis.
Nice.
See how I did that?
I do. Love it. Thanks, George. George Mahey with us on KMOX.
I spend my whole paycheck on some old
well, and brother, a lot of drinking going on this weekend.
Oh, are we talking about the Board of Aldermen meeting?
How did you know?
It didn't actually happen.
Nobody
She took
would.
It back.
She did take it back. That is Megan Green, the president of the Board of Aldermen, who accused Alderman Joe Vollmer of being drunk. On Sunday, the Super Bowl, where people will be drinking. And I guess our own producer, Matt Pajeski, saw a Super Bowl display in the grocery store.
Yeah, so you know how, around this time of year, there's like those big beer displays of like, it's in the shape of a football helmet or maybe the uprights.
Yeah.
Usually with the cases of beer, usually. This one that I saw last night was a display of Barefoot wine, and it said Barefoot wine, the official wine of the NFL. And
what
it got
is
me...
Barefoot wine?
You've never seen Barefoot wine?
No.
It's always in a Walgreens.
Yeah.
It's kind of stuffy.
It's
kind of stuffy at the drugstore.
Yeah, $10 wine. It's always the sweetest wine you've ever had, super fruity, doesn't even taste like wine. And then it got me thinking, is there any overlap between Barefoot wine drinkers and NFL viewers? I think that's probably a pretty slim margin. There's, I can't imagine any people doing both of those things at the same time.
It's $5.
Yeah. Dude, it's not good. I mean, you know,
this display is huge, and they must be doing okay if they're the official wine sponsor of the NFL.
Yeah, I would say if an entire bottle of wine costs the same as a can of beer in a bar, it's probably not great. But Barefoot and Yellowtail.
Oh, I've heard of Yellowtail.
Those are the wines that I would get if I was in like college trying to impress a lady. Oh, I get a bottle of wine, and so I got a Barefoot.
I've never even
It will give you an incredible hangover. But that is interesting. It doesn't seem like the market for it.
Yeah.
However, Super Bowl parties, you have all kinds of different people. Not everybody's drinking just beer, right? I mean, you've got a mixture of people. Maybe. You got men, you got women,
Maybe there are some lightweights who want to drink alcohol but don't like it, so they'll get a Barefoot Moscato.
And they're on a $6 budget, too.
Yeah. They'll get a Moscato and have a dollar left.
Oh, have you guys seen, he's I don't know if it's TikTok or Instagram, but he must be some liquor store owner, and his name is Chuck. And he eats the salami, and then he drinks wine after, and he talks about how he loves the taste of wine after eating a slice of salami.
This is all he does?
It's Drew's seen it. He drinks the wine with ice.
Ew.
And all he does is just take a beating from the commenters. Like, what is this disgusting crap? You own a liquor store? You guys have to find this dude.
Well,
I bet his Super Bowl party would be a lot of fun.
It's just salami and wine. It's better than
iced wine.
All celery sticks and peanut butter party.
Oh, that party is gonna just rock. Sunday, come to my house for peanut butter and celery.
All the celery your heart could ever desire.
And tap water.
No ice!
Bernie Miklas joins us next. This Bernie Miklas report is brought to you by Saliga Heating and Cooling, an American Standard heating and air conditioning dealer. This is a big day, really, if you think about it, because we are fully into Super Bowl week. The Chiefs and the Eagles will play on Sunday, but also we've got the Cardinals equipment trucks leaving today. They are on their way to Jupiter, Florida, as we are getting ready for spring training as well, which really a week from today. Pitchers and catchers will report and have their first full workout on Wednesday of next week. So Bernie is with us now on KMOX. This is a good day, Bernie. Good sports day, I would say.
Yeah, Ron, I agree. And Amy, hello. I mean, we have all of the seasons merging together again. You know, I love the way Mizzou is playing. Illinois has got a great basketball team. SLU is up and down. The Blues are a bit of an enigma, but it's still hockey season. Super Bowl is here. You know, there's you have crazy trades being made in the NBA, Super Bowl, spring training. Yeah, I mean, just a lot of reason for, metaphorically speaking, a lot of confetti these days. Looking forward to all of it. It's a great time of the year for sports.
I like it. Okay, I know there's a lot to get to with baseball and football, but just because you brought up the NBA, did you see that Anthony Edwards was pretty shocked about the Luka Doncic trade? And here, Edwards said this after a game last night. He said, "They say that nobody knew about the trade. That's crazy. At 25 years old, they traded probably the best scorer in the NBA, and he didn't know about it. There's a lot more digging somebody's got to do to find out why he got traded, because you don't just trade him at 25. He just went to the finals. I feel bad for Luka, man." Like, just expressing shock.
Well, yeah, I mean, they were able to put, the Mavericks and the Lakers were able to pull this off in total secrecy, which is really, well, it's extremely rare in this media culture, social media culture. But it was just the two general managers of the teams, and they were having, you know, private secret talks and work this out. The thing, there's so much about it we still don't understand. Like, I'm going to
call
Jokic.
I know.
Yep. No, I was going to actually do that in a way to tell you, hey, Amy, on the show I used to do at KFNS, when I would talk about Doncic, I would say Jokic.
Yeah.
And people mm-hmm. would text in and say, hey, dummy, you got the wrong guy. So anyway, it's not easy.
Guess
it's
those
not
all easy. Those Eastern Europeans look alike, you know?
Which they kind of sound alike, their last names anyway. But no, the thing that, okay, if you look at his age group, you know, age 25, Doncic is the third highest scorer in his career at the age of 25 in NBA history.
Wow.
And he's not a great defender. He has trouble staying in shape, and that's kind of bad. He really needs to work on that. But the Lakers now have a franchise caliber player, another star to build around, and he'll probably bring his best basketball there. Because LA sort of brings that out and stars that are able to maneuver their way there. But the thing I don't get, just the merits of the trade itself, let's put that aside. I don't even want to talk about, well, who won the trade, who does it benefit, blah, 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 blah. If you have an incredible crown prince of basketball at the age of 25, who is going to be a Hall of Famer, and he might be one of the top five players in the world today, how do you limit the trade discussions to one team? Why wouldn't you know, just let it be known he is available and then solicit the greatest offer you could get for Doncic? Sorry. But their general manager was fixated on Anthony Davis, so he really didn't want to entertain other offers. That seems to be very strange to me.
Yeah, it's not for the Mavericks on their side. They are getting roundly criticized by pretty much everybody. So it's I can't believe that deal happened. Most people were shocked. Most players were shocked. Right. You know, tweeting about it, like, what in the world is going on there? So just a really fascinating situation. But I wanted to shift to the Cardinals here because, as we mentioned, the equipment's on its way now to Florida a week from today, pitchers and catchers report. And I know you know, as everybody else does, about the interview that Jim Edmonds did yesterday where he criticized the Cardinals organization, you know, and he had a lot to say about them, not so much about Bill DeWitt or John Mozeliak. He was he praised them, but just said there's an unwelcoming environment there. What are your thoughts on what he had to say?
Well, the thing was just filled with one contradiction after another. First of all, I love the fact that Jim Edmonds is a maverick. He's always been an entertainer. You never know what he's going to say. His head wires function differently than the rest of us, and that's a good thing. He's a fascinating guy, and I've never been surprised by anything he does. And it's one of the things I actually like about him. But you can't go on a radio show and talk for as long and just like bombard the Cardinals with this criticism, that criticism. You don't like the culture. It's change. It's no fun. I go down there. The former players don't feel welcome, blah, 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 blah. But after going off on like the decline of the Cardinals and the way that they don't care and they've let this thing kind of fall apart, then he pivots and he praises the DeWitts. He praises John Mozeliak. He praises Marmol. He even used the word love to describe his feelings for them. Well, wait a minute. Who do you think is responsible and in charge? Who controls the direction of the Cardinals, whether they're successful or not? Like, who puts the team together? Who sets the philosophy? How can you exonerate them of any culpability in the thing that you criticize? It makes no sense. Just like with the TV stuff, you know, he got sacked, but, oh, I didn't want that job anyway, except he's obviously still really ticked off about it, or he wouldn't bring it up. And, you know, the same thing applies to, well, I go to spring training, you know, and I go to try to get in the clubhouse and the security guard tells me, Hey, Jim, it's probably not a good time. Well, that's okay, because I don't want to be in there anyway. You know, there was an old man yelling at the clouds aspect to this that I found just kind of almost funny. You know, it's just, frankly, this is an extremely important spring training for the Cardinals. Mm-hmm. They've got an updated coaching staff. They have a new hitting instructor. You got Chaim Bloom and his people will be down there. You got a lot of new teachers and instructors. This sounds cold, but it's true. You know, this spring training operation this year is a lot more important with a long list of things that to do to get this team ready. And Jim Edmonds' personal happiness doesn't make my list. You know, I'm much more concerned about, you know, is Jordan Walker, Nolan Gorman going to hit? What's the new hitting coach going to do? I don't even know how to put it. It's just, it's entertaining stuff. He's always been an entertaining guy, but I don't know what he wants because he just zigs and zags and he's all over the place.
Yeah, Bernie. And that's why it's hard to tell what to take from his response, because on one hand, it's this dichotomy. On one hand, you have way bigger things to deal with spring training, the young guys revamping the organization. On the other hand, because things aren't going swimmingly and haven't been going swimmingly within the organization, I can't tell if that gives more heft to any of Edmonds' criticisms had the organization been winning the past few years.
Well, right. And listen, there's a lot to criticize, and we do it here on KMYX. You all know that I do it. I write about it. I talk about it. I do videos about it. I mean, I call the Cardinals out on a lot of things, but I try to be relevant. I try to be pertinent in terms of what I target. And we all know the Cardinals dropped the ball on this, letting this organization become outdated and stale and, you know, lose their prestige within the game competitively. And that was a shame. It should have happened. But, you know, but this idea that somehow they don't like their former players and they don't want them down there and all this stuff. Well, why are so many former Cardinals part of the operation now? I mean, why when spring training opens, you know, will Ozzie Smith be down there again working with young prospects? Well, you know, they brought in another former Cardinal, John Jay, to the coaching staff. They brought in a batting coach that a former Cardinal, Skip Schumacher, and another former Cardinal named Pujols recommended to them, saying he's great. You got to hire this guy. You know, you look at the guest list of people that are going to be down there, former Cardinals working. I mean, it's not only just Ozzie, but David Freese will be down there. Ryan Ludwig, Willie McGee, Jose Oquendo, Bernard Gilkey, Jason Isringhausen, and I'm leaving a few out. So what is he talking about? They got a lot. They have a lot. There's going to be a lot of Cardinals down there. What is it? Maybe they just don't want him down there because
I was going to ask that question. Is it possible that it's just him specifically?
Listen, and with the fans that just love the fact that he called out the DeWitts and everyone, except that he didn't.
Yeah.
Because he wouldn't summon the strength to actually point the finger at them. Oh, I love those guys. Now, if anybody whose brain's functioning rather well, they would say, well, wait a minute. I'm confused by this. Aren't they the people that you say kind of like you know, kind of ruined everything? Well, but you don't think they're to blame. Okay. Who are you blaming? You blaming like the assistant trainer? What? I don't get it. So, no, it's just full of contradiction. And, the people that think DeWitt is evil, sell the team. We're all in hell. You know, the people that are performance artists on social media, the outrage farmers, Jim Edmonds is their new messiah. And they really don't care whether he contradicted himself 5,000 times in one interview.
Bernie, again, as we mentioned, it's Super Bowl week. We'll talk more about the game itself in our next visit on Thursday. But
sure.
There's a lot of momentum, a lot of discussion about there being an 18-game schedule in the NFL. Right now we're at 17, expanded from 16. So this 18-game schedule, a lot of owners think we're going to go that direction, but it could be a couple of years at least before that happens. What are your thoughts on it?
Well, it's not a good idea, and for a league that proclaims to be, you know, really emotionally and professionally invested in enhanced player safety and cutting down on head injuries and that can cause CTE and all that stuff. And you know, the rate of those type of injuries has gone down. So I would be a hypocrite if I didn't acknowledge that. The NFL's, some of the things they put in effect are working, not to full extent, but their progress has been made. But there is not the most physical sport that there is. There is nothing to be gained by, you know, taking a 16, what it was a 14 game schedule, then it was 16 all those years, then it was 17. Now you want to go to 18. We've seen saw a ridiculous scenario this past season, the regular season, where teams were playing three games in 11 days. These men get beat up. I mean, there's a lot of damage. It's not necessarily, you know, it's not all about head injuries. I mean, their bodies just get absolutely punished. And there's a lot of leftover effects there. I mean, I have so many friends in the NFL who in retirement are just like limping around and they've had everything replaced and they're in a lot of pain and they never feel good. And listen, this is the life that they chose. It's the profession they chose. I get that. But why would the NFL Players Association, given all this trauma that the players have suffered because the demands, the increasing demands of the schedule, and it is a fast, violent, hard-hitting sport, why would you sign off on yet another extra week of games? When is enough for the NFL owners as they continue to just like, it's all about revenue. Oh, we'll get this much if we add an 18th week. Oh, we can sell this to Netflix. We can do this. Oh my gosh, we'll make billions. You know, when is enough enough? If you really care about the players, then shouldn't you care about the toll that it takes them playing 18 games instead of 17 or 16? I don't know. Maybe I'm a Pollyanna.
You're looking at it the way I think most people look at it. He says, Roger Goodell, the commissioner, says that people want more football, which they do, but they also don't want everybody to die in the process. So, you know, it's kind of tough. Bernie, we will talk again on Thursday.
Well, the good news is it's Tuesday. And the difference
is that good news?
Yeah, the difference between Monday and Tuesday is that Monday we did not give away Outlaw Festival tickets.
Right.
But on Tuesday, which is today, we are giving away Outlaw Festival tickets at some point.
And for the rest of the week, too. So you're going to get a chance today to win tickets to see Willie Nelson and Bob Dylan at the Outlaw Festival. And then tomorrow, rest of the week also. So tomorrow, Thursday, Friday. And you have to be listening for your chance to win. Otherwise, you get squat. Unless you just happen to call at the right precise moment we're giving them away.
To the contest line?
If you guess, you're at home not listening to the show or doing whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
And you go, I'm going to try. I bet they're giving them away right now.
Where is
it'd be
the
like
Outlaw
playing
Festival?
The lottery. It's at Hollywood Casino Amphitheater.
AKA Riverport.
And it takes place in June.
That would
June
be a
28th.
Lot of fun. That would be a lot of fun.
I would like to see Willie because both of them, because you don't know how much longer they're going to be touring, playing live. I don't know if they're good now. I have not seen them perform.
Well, I'm sure they're good now.
You don't know that because I heard that Hall & Oates were terrible.
Really?
Yeah, a few years ago, they came to St. Louis, and a good friend of ours, Randy, said that he went, and one of them, I forgot which one, he said one of them was like propped up on a bar stool with a stick.
One of them has to be one of them.
He said they were bad. I don't know.
One of them has to be good because they have that show in the garage with Daryl Hall.
So it's
live from Daryl's house.
Live from Daryl's house.
So it's probably Oates who's not doing well.
What's Oates' first name?
John.
Yeah. John?
Not Adam.
It's not Adam.
Don't
right.
you think it's kind of amazing that we had Hull and Oates? That's kind of amazing, isn't it?
Well,
What are the odds?
I don't know. Decent?
Four out of six? I don't know.
50%.
I saw Willie Nelson at last year's Outlaw Festival, and he was very good.
Really?
He sits, too. They prop him up, too. But he can still play guitar and sing.
When I did go to the Billy Joel concert, that was this summer at Busch Stadium, and Billy Joel is great. You know what's great about Billy Joel is he doesn't pretend to be younger than he is. He's not a tryhard. He accepts where he is, and he's still amazing, and his voice is amazing, and the piano is amazing, and so he is a lot of fun. My brother, and I think this is something Matt Pajeski would appreciate, my brother loved like classic rock, and I want to say a few years ago, I don't know if it was Boston or Styx or something like that, they said they were still really good.
Really?
Yeah.
I know Styx is coming too at some point to the amphitheater.
Maybe it was Styx.
I always get Boston, Styx, and Jefferson Airplane mixed up. I don't know.
Do you know
who
it was?
Different.
Jefferson Airplane, Jefferson Starship.
They were the same.
Starship.
Different iterations.
All the same band.
But the same, yeah, right.
Yeah.
Well, I knew that.
Well, different iterations. But you knew it went Jefferson Airplane, Jefferson Starship.
And REO Speedwagon. Just throw them in the mix because to me, that's all the same band.
It's totally not. Nothing's Gonna Stop Us Now is one of the best songs of all time.
Who's that?
Jefferson Starship. Starship.
That's Starship.
Just Starship. Okay. No Jefferson.
Jefferson right. left.
Where'd he go?
He's in the airplane. I'm not staying with the Starship. Yeah.
I would love to be on a Starship. No, I don't. I don't know about any of those bands.
Well, you're
I should
out.
Know more.
You
I,
should know more.
It's cool people music. So
yeah, you wouldn't
Is it?
Get it.
Yeah. Okay.
Too busy listening to Muse.
Aren't they something?
Muse is cool.
Wow. Wow, are they good? Muse is great. Yeah, my guy knows. Matt Pajeski ran into him at the concert at Chaffetz.
You ran
a couple
into
of years
Muse?
Ago.
I ran into Ron.
So, oh, yeah, we were. Yeah, Muse Matt Bellamy. Too. Matt Bellamy was just walking around, just shredding the guitar. All right. When we come back. Look, Amy and I don't know anything about tariffs.
We know something. Stop saying we don't know anything.
We, are
we know
so
a lot
dumb.
About tariffs.
We are so stupid
oh
that we need somebody to teach
I think
us.
Most people know he's speaking for himself.
Professor of Practice in Economics at WashU's Olin Business School, John Horn, is going to tell us how tariffs will affect us, will affect you. You're going to want to listen when we come back on KMOX.